Today's daf is daf lamed gimel amid aleph. We're going to start with lamed beis amid beis, and we'll start with Amar Rava, which is approximately 10 lines up before the end of the amud. Amar Rava lo shanu. When the Mishnah makes the distinction between two cases where the eruv that he left on the tree was above 10 tefachim and it's an invalid eruv, or he left his Eruv below 10 Tefachim on the Ilan, and then the Eruv is valid, that only applies Ela B'Ilan Ha'omed Chutz Li'Ibura Shal'ir. And the Ibura Shal'ir is the radius around the city, and that's 70 Amah and 2/3 Amah. If the Ilan is outside of that circumference, then we're going to invalidate the Eruv if the Eruv is above 10 Tefachim from the ground. Aval Ilan Ha'omed Betoch Ibur Shal'ir. If, on the other hand, the Ilan is within the 70 and 2/3 Amah around the city, then Afilu L'malam Esor HaRei Zeh Eruv. Then the Mishnah would agree that even if the Eruv was placed on the tree above 10 Tefachim from the ground, the Eruv would still be valid. And we don't know the logic of it, so the Gemara says, here's Rava's logic, Hareza Eruv Demosa Keman Demalyadomi, that we view the city and the heke for the city up to 70 and 2/3 Amah as Keman Demalyadomi. It's considered as if you translate the Gemara literally, the entire city is filled with Afar up to Asarat Tfach and beyond, which means that his Makom Shvisa at the bottom of the Ilan, at the trunk of the tree, is as if it's Lamala Me'asara. It's Hu B'Mokom Echad Ve'eruvo B'Mokom Echad. He's all with his Eruv in one Mokom. And therefore, what Rav is saying is that all of this city, Keman D'Mal Yadomi, means in Hilchus Mokom, it's considered one Mokom, straight through, and therefore, it's like a Rishus HaYochid, which means that even Lamala Me'asar Tfachim, which is Rishus HaYochid, that's where he was Shoveh. So even though physically he is at the bottom of the tree, before, in actuality, for example, he is standing in a Rishus HaRavim, he would not be able to take the Eruv down to his Makom Shvisa at the trunk of the tree, but nevertheless, it's considered as if his Makom Shvisa is on top of the tree because the entire area is considered one area, one Rishus HaYochid Kihu. Again, it's not a Rishus HaYochid in the literal sense, and therefore he would not be allowed to take the Eruv down from the tree to his Makom Shvisa because he's standing in a Rishus HaRabim. But nevertheless, as far as Hilchos Shvisas Makom, and establishing that he and his Eruv are considered B'Makom Echad, the entire city is considered Keman D'Mal Yadomi. And the Gemara is now going to present a problem from another statement of Rava. But in any event, the entire city, together with the 70 and 2/3 Amah around the city, is considered like one area, and it's above 10 Tefachim, and it's all one Rishus HaYochid. So the tree, since it's located in this case, Betoch Ibura Shal'ir, inside the limits of the 70 Amah, and the entire city is considered one continuous Rishus HaYochid, it's as if he, the Ma'arev, and his Eruv are B'Makom Echad. He is considered in the place of his Eruv, and therefore he could be Konish Visa even above 10 Tefachim. Again, we have to keep in mind that this is a halacha in Hilchus Eruvin. He's not allowed to take the Eruv from the top of the tree, because again, he's standing with his feet at the trunk of the tree, which is a Rishus HaRabim. His Eruvin is in a Rishus HaYochid above 10 Tefachim. And therefore he would not be able to take the Eruv down, and therefore the halacha here is only as far as validating the Eruv is concerned, but not as far as taking the Eruv down from above 10 Tefachim, because he's standing in a Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara now has another statement of Rava. Ihachi, if this be the case, Chutz Li'Ibura Shal'ir Nami, even if this Elon is outside of the 70 and two-thirds Amma circumference of the around the city. In other words, even if he's going to place his Eruv in a Rishus HaRabim, which means outside the Ibura Shalir, but we have another statement of Rav. Kevan Diyama Rava Hanose De Ruvo Yeshlo Arba Amos. A person is given a gift of 4 Amos circumference around his Eruv. This 4 Amos radius around his Eruv is considered, as far as Hilchas Eruvin is concerned, to be a Rishus HaYochid. And therefore, Havile Rishus HaYochid, even if it's beyond the 2,000 Amos, I'm sorry, even if it's beyond what we said before, let's use those numbers, it's a little bit more precise, the 70 and two-thirds Amos around the city, nevertheless, it's Rishus HaYochid. And Rishus HaYochid is Ola Adler Rekia. So if you're telling me that he and his Eruv of Makom Echad, that should be true, based on this statement of Rava, even outside of the Buro Shel Ir. Because Rava says that when a person puts down an Erev, we give him 4 Amos around that place where he set up his Erev, as if they were Mukafos Mechitza, as if he had a Mechitza that surrounded that circumference, that radius of 4 Amos. And if that's Rishus HaYochid, it's Ola Adler Akia. So if his Makom Shvisa was within those 4 Amos, then even if his Eruv is above 10 Tfachim, he is still Hu Ve'eruvo B'Makom Echad. He and his Eruv are in the same place in Rishus HaYochid. And his Eruv, therefore, should be valid even above 10 Tfachim. Again, even though we're not saying that the 4 Amos is really Rishus HaYochid min HaTorah, according to Torah law, such that if he threw something from Rishus HaRabim into that area of 4 Amos, he would be Chayav. It's not really a Rishus HaYochid mamish. It doesn't have physical mechitzas. And once again, we'd have to emphasize that he would not be able to, according to Hilchos Shabbos, to take the Erev down from the Elon, which is in Rishus HaYochid above 10 Tfachim, down to the place where his feet are on Rishus HaRabim. But nevertheless, as far as Hu Ve'eruvo B'Makom Echad, we're Mekil, this is a leniency based on Rava, that we consider the entire 4 Amos around to be one Rishus. And if Rava said that Bibura Shel Ir, since we consider it as one Rishus, therefore, Kimalea Ofer, as we said, therefore, the Erev is valid because it's Hu Ve'eruvo B'Makom Echad. The same should apply to the 4 Amos, which, according to Rava's principle, around the Erev are considered one Rishus HaYochid, one continuous Rishus HaYochid, which means that he and his Erev are B'Makom Echad. And therefore, I don't understand, according to you, Rava, why is it that outside the Bura Shel Ir, if the Erev is placed above 10 Amos, the Erev is invalid? Why should that be so? And by interpreting our Mishnah as a case of outside the Bura Shel Ir, now you think you're satisfied and you can explain and understand why Lamala Me'asara, the Erev, is invalid. That's not true, because once you give him the 4 Amos around the Erev, you've given him, in effect, what you said by Bura Shel Ir. It's one entire continuous Rishus HaYochid. And therefore, it's Hu Ve'eruvo B'Makom Echad. And the Erev, therefore, should be valid, just like in the case of an Ilan HaOmed B'toch Iburo Shel Ir. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Barei Rabbi Masharshi, in order to defend Rava, Hocha, in our case in the Mishnah, it's Be'ilan HaNotech Chutz Li'arba Amos Askinon. We're dealing with a case of a gigantic foliage, and that foliage, that nof, is Nota. It goes as far away from the trunk of the tree as 4 Amos. And therefore, we're talking about a case where the trunk of the tree is in Rishus HaRabim, the nof, right, the foliage of the tree is outside of 4 Amos from the Ikar Elon. So the distance between the Ikar Elon, the trunk of the tree, and the foliage where he places his Erev on one of the branches is more than 4 Amos. And if it's more than 4 Amos, then we cannot activate the principle of Rava, Vanose de Ruvo, Yeshlo Arba Amos, because although that four Amos is considered, as far as Erev is concerned, to be Rishus HaYochid, but now he placed his Erev outside and beyond four Amos on a branch that stretches way beyond Arba Amos. And now, Rabboso, we start today's daf, which is on daf Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph. V'niskavin Lishbos. His kavanah was to be kona shvisa al haaretz bi'ikaro, meaning on the trunk of the tree. And therefore, when he places his eruv below asara, then the eruv is valid, because he within four amos is considered his area. In other words, he's allowed to go within that four amos radius as much as he wants. He could take from the Elon his Eruv, and he could take it into Rishus HaRabim. Now again, how is he going to take it into Rishus HaRabim if it's four Amos away? After all, that would be a Mavir Dalet Amos. So here's where we have to introduce Rebbe, which is going to be a major subject of today's Shia. And Rebbe says that if you are to carry it two Amos at a time and take a break every two amos, and you never carried it a full 4 hours continuously, you have not violated a doraisa of mavir. Not only that, but bein hashmoshos, at the moment that the eruv has to be chal, we don't have any shvus derabbanon, and therefore, within the 4 amos around his eruv, or I should say more precisely, around his Makom Shvisa, that's considered a Rishus HaYochid, and it's Huvei Ruva B'Makom Echad, and in such a case, although the Eruv is now in a Rishus HaYochid, and he is standing in a Rishus HaRabim, he could take the Eruv and have access to it, because during Bein HaShmoshos, when the Erev has to be Chal, we don't apply the Shvus of prohibiting you for carrying it less than 4 amos at a time. If, on the other hand, he places his Erev above 10 Tfachim, then the Erev is considered a Rishus HaYochid, because Rishus HaRabim only goes up 10 Tfachim. Above 10 Tfachim, it's Rishus HaYochid. And then, because of the Doraisa Halach of Hotzah, his Erev is invalid, because he cannot possibly bring the Erev in from Erishus HaYochid, which is Lamal Me'asorah, into his where he's standing at the trunk of the tree, which is Rishus HaRabim. So now the Gemara has what I call a Diyuk Lishoni, meaning there's something about the language of the Mishnah that bothers us. The Mishnah differentiates between where the Erev is above 10 Tfachim or below 10 Tfachim. And usually those words, Maila Malal, Maila Mata, mean that if you draw a straight vertical line, so you have below 10 Tfachim at some point going up from the ground with a straight line up, and above 10 Tfachim. But here, that seems to be an inappropriate distinction. The language doesn't fit to our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah we're talking about foliage, and we're talking about his placing his Eruv on a branch that shoots out from the trunk of the tree. So what's this business, Lamata or Lamala? It all depends on where the branch is. If the branch is at a level of below 10 Tfachim, then the Erev would be valid. If it's a higher branch on the tree, no, it's the more appropriate language would have been to differentiate between Munach al Anaf Gavoa Levein Munach al Anaf Namuch. In other words, you have different levels, different branches, and you have one branch that shoots out below 10 Tfachim, you have another that shoots out above 10 Tfachim. The language should have been, let's distinguish between an Anaf Gavoa and an Anaf Namuch. But what's Lamalo Lamato? So our answer is the Hadar Zakif. What we're talking about is one branch, but the branch moves like at a 90 degree angle and it goes up. It's like a, you know, a backwards L, if you follow what I mean. So you have the branch coming out this direction, and then it shoots up vertically. And now we can understand that if the branch has, it's one single branch, but it has different levels because it goes up and it moves out. So we could talk about a vertical line, right? When the first line, straight line out of the branch reaches a 90 degree angle and then it goes straight up. So we could talk about putting the Erev down there, which is below 10 Tfachim, and then going straight up to above 10 Tfachim. Now the Gemara has a different question. The Gemara says, why is it that if the Erev is outside of Arba Amos, we've just established that if it's above 10 Tfachim from the ground, the Erev is invalid, v'hiboy maisile derech olav. If he would want to, the Ma'arev could bring the Eruv towards him, Derech Olav, meaning he could climb up to the Eruv on the top part of the tree during Bein HaShemashos. So now, I'm not going to tell him he has to do that, but theoretically he could do that. And he's above 10 Tfachim, he could take his Eruv and he could bring it down through the Avir, which is above his Makom Shvisa at the trunk of the tree, because the Ilan Lamal Me'asar is considered a Shusha Yochid. And since it's Huvei Ruvo B'Makom Echad, as we discussed before, because again, if he climbs up Lamal Me'asar, he's together with the Erev in one Makom in a Shusha Yochid. So even though his Makom Shvisa is down at the bottom, at the trunk of the tree, but now he's already brought the Eruv within four amos of his Makom Shvisa. And we would say now that the Makom Shvisa is considered a Rishus HaYochid, and it's Olad L'Rakia, and therefore, the Eruv should be valid. Unless we can establish that somehow the Eruv now that is located outside of his Arba Amos, Michutz Arba Mosov, is in a Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara answers, Kish HaRabim Mekakfim Olav. What it means is that you can have a pole that shoots out from the ground of Rishus HaRabim and goes up, let's say, 9 Tfachim. And even though it's only a pole, nevertheless, it still has the status of Rishus HaRabim. What makes it into Rishus HaRabim? Normally that would be called a Carmelis, but here it becomes a Rishus HaRabim because it's Rabim Makatfim Olav. You know, it's people, as they walk through the public area and they want to shift around the, you know, the masa that they're carrying on the back, they'll use this pole to move it around. Therefore, when he sets his Eruv up above 10 Tfachim, that's above the 10 Tfachim, the Avir, because of the Netiyas HaAnaf, we said that the Anaf shoots out to an area that is above 10 Tfachim, then what's going to happen is that if he grabs his Eruv from Lamalame Asara, what's going to happen is that he is taking the Eruv from Erushus HaYochid through a Rishus HaRabim. Why is that? Because again, the Erev is above 10 Tfachim from the Avir, and he is now going to have to take the Erev from above 10 Tfachim through the Avir Rishus HaRabim. And we have halacha, you may recall this when we learned Masechta Shabbos on Daf Tzadivov, called Moshit. And Moshit means that if a person is Moshit from Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid, and he goes through the Avir Rishus HaRabim, even if it's Lamala Me'asara, he's Chayef. So even though Rishus HaRabim only goes up to 10 Tfachim and not beyond, so beyond 10 Tfachim, it's really an effect of Makom Ptur, but nevertheless he took it from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid through the Avir of Rishus HaRabim. And that's called Moshit. And we derive from the Mishkan that that's considered a malacha of Havara. So that now above 10 Tfachim, the Erev is in Rishus HaYochid, and he's now taking it from Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid, but he's going through the Avir Rishus HaRabim because of this Rabbi Mekakfin Olav Kida Ula Diyamar Ula Amud Tisha Rishus HaRabim V'Rabbi Mekakfin Olav V'Nochal Gabov V'Zorek V'Nochal Gabov Chaya. Now, as Ula says, that the Torah recognizes the status of this pole or this pillar that shoots out from the ground up to 9 tefachim high in a Rishus HaRabim. It's considered Rishus HaRabim. And the reason for that is because Rabbi Mekakfin Olav. And if he throws something from Rishus HaYochid, and it lands, just one second, where was he standing? Just let me get this straight. Vizorak. Oh, I'm sorry. He's standing in Rishus HaRabim, but 4 amos away from this Amud, and it lands on the Amud. He's chayef. Why? Because he carried it 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim. He landed it on a pole, on an Amud. Nevertheless, that Amud has the status of Rishus HaRabim because of Rabbi Mekatfim Olav. Now, the Gemara back on Daf Lamed Beis had quoted, if you recall, a machlokas between Rebbe and Chachamim as to whether or not Isur Shvus would apply Bein HaShmoshos. So the Gemara now says that our halacha here is actually the source, the original source, that codifies this machlokas. My Rebbe Umay Rabbonon. In what context did Rebbe and Rabbonon have this machlokas? The Sanya we learned in the Braisa. Misano be'ilon l'malam yasar tvachim. If he places his eruv on a tree above 10 tvachim, en eruv eruv. And as we interpret our Mishnah, his kavana, his intention was to be shoves in the Rishus HaRabim at the place of the trunk of the tree. And there's a foliage that extends beyond 4 amos. And at the end of that foliage, it goes up. And that's where he placed his eruv, above 10 tefachim, which is a Rishus HaYochid. And Bein HaShmoshos now, he has no access to his Eruv, because he's standing in Rishus HaRabim. The Eruv is Lamala Me'asor in Rishus HaYochid. However, Lamata Me'asor tefachim, if on the other hand, he places his Eruv down on the Elon, below 10 tefachim, Eruvo Eruv, his Eruv is valid, V'osolitlo. But nevertheless, he's not allowed to grab the Erev on Shabbos if he wants to eat it, because when he takes the Erev down from the Elon, that's a violation of an Isur Derabbanan, and that's called Tashmish B'Elon, which is a Gemara at the end of Beitza that we mentioned the other day, that if he derives any benefit from the Elon, that's included in an Isur Derabbanan B'Shabbos, because we're always afraid that he might climb up the tree and grab some fruits and harvest them. But since Bein HaShmoshos, now we're holding like Rebbe, there's no gzera, and therefore the Iser of Hishtamshus B'Elon, using the Elon, is not in effect at Bein HaShmoshos, when the Eruv should be Chal. He would now be allowed to take the Eruv off the tree and eat it, even though he's benefiting from the tree. But that's because Bein HaShmoshos, according to Rebbe, there's no Shvus. B'sok Shlosha Mutar Litlo. In a case where the Erev was below 3 Tvachim from the ground, then, as a general rule, not because of the halacha of Bein HaShmoshos, he'd be allowed to take it from there, because up to 3 Tvachim is considered as if it's on the Karka, and it's not on the Elon, and he's not benefiting from the Elon. So the Iser of benefiting from the Elon applies above 3 tefachim. Nisano b'kalkala usla'o b'Elon. If he takes his Eruv and he puts it into a basket, and he hangs the basket on one of the branches of the tree, is afil l'malam yasar tefachim eruvo Eruv. Even though this basket is above 10 tefachim from the ground, his Eruv is valid, divrei Rebbe. Now, as far as why the Kalkala changes the situation and permits it to validate the Eruv l'malam e'asara, that we have to wait to see the sugya. But Divrei Rebbe, what we want to get from this brisa of Rebbe is that Rebbe holds that even if he's using the tree and he's benefiting from it, which would make it awesome in Rabbanon, and the Erev becomes inaccessible, the answer is because Rebbe holds Bein HaShmashos at the time of the Erev Chal, there's no Yisur Shavos. Chachamim Omrim Kol Mokom Shalasa Litlo Ein Eruvo Eruv. If he places the Eruv in a place that he cannot access it because he'd be violating the Yisur Shavos Derabbanon of benefiting from the Ilan, then the Eruv is invalid. Why? Because the Shavos makes it impossible for him to get within the parameters of the halacha to have a heter to access the Eruv, because the Rabbanan hold against Rebbe that even that which is osam mishum shvus is prohibited bein hashmashos at the time of the Eruv. Now the Gemara wants to know, in what context did the Chachamim make their comment that whenever you cannot access the Eruv and it's also to take it, the Eruv is invalid? Chachamim omrim ahei. On which part of the Braisa did the Chachamim make that comment? Ilema Seifa, if it's just an extension of the last part of the Braisa, where Rebbe said that if he placed his Eruv in a basket and he hangs it on the tree, even Lamala Me'asar Tvach, the Eruv is valid, and the Rabbanan disagree, and they hold that he's using the Ilan and he's benefiting from it, therefore he's not allowed to take the Eruv from the Kalkola, because the kalkol is being held by the tree. So the Gemara says, Lema kasavri rabbanan tzadim asurim. We're going to have to assume that the isa shvus of benefiting from the tree applies even when you get indirect benefit from the tree. Because really what's holding on to his eruv is the basket. The basket is not the tree. Narvas, the tree is holding on to the basket. So the basket is suspended by the tree, by the branch of the tree. So that's called tzadim, and that's a machlokes in the Gemara at the very, very end of Masechta Shabbos. And if the Chachamim here are saying that it's asur, then we're going to be in trouble with that opinion expressed by one Tana, who says that mitzadim is mutter, that if it's an indirect benefit from the tree, it's not included in the Shavuos. Here the Rabbanan apparently are including even an indirect benefit in the case of Kalkola from the tree, and that's also included in the Shavuos. And that would make Rabim against the Yochid, because there's one Tana there who holds that Litzdodim is Mutter, and now we have the Chachamim that are reflecting here in our Braisa that Litzdodim is also Asur. Ella, but rather, Aresha. In the first part of this Braisa, where Rebbe said that if it's Lamata Be'asar Tfachim, Eruv o Eruv, but you're not allowed to take it, is here the Chachom disagree, and they say that even though the Ma'ariv and the Eruv are Bershus Achas, Hu ve'eruv v'makom Echa, nevertheless, since the Eruv is on the tree, and now the Eruv is on the branch of the tree directly, then he's not allowed to take it, because if in doing so, he would be benefiting from the tree and violating a Shavuos Rabbana, which the Chachom assume is also even Vivein HaShmashos. Now the Gemara wants to deal with the Braisa. Hi Ilan Hechi Dami. This Ilan that's mentioned in the Braisa, what exactly are the facts of the case? E de lespe Asara. If the Ilan does not have the width of Asara Tfachim, so then there shouldn't be any difference between Lamalame Asara or Lamatame Asara. The Erev should be valid even Lamalame Asara, because Makom Pturhu. Any place that's very narrow and it's less than 4 tefachim is not called a Rishus HaYochid. And only when it's wide by 4 tefachim does it become a Rishus HaYochid. And if it's less than 4 tefachim, it's not even a Rishus unto itself. It has the status of a Makom Ptur. And therefore, we have to assume that this kalkola is in a makom ptur. In other words, whether or not it's above 10 tefachim, below 10 tefachim, it doesn't have the width of four tefachim. is therefore he nimtzes bein rishus harav and rishus harav v'teila lishneim. The law of a makom tur is that it's considered the same as wherever it is. If it's a rishus hayachid, it's batal to rishus hayachid. If it's rishus harav, it's batal to rishus harav. So therefore, he's allowed to take it from one place to the other. He's allowed to take it from Makom Tur into the Rishus wherever he's found, because Makom Tur is like a non-entity. It's neutral. It doesn't have any status as a Rishus. There's not even an Issur Drabanan. So therefore, he'd be allowed to take his Eruv from the tree and bring it into a Rishus HaRabim where he's standing, even if it's L'malo Me'asara, because it doesn't have a Rochav of 4 Tefachim. So why is the Eruv invalid if it's L'malo Me'asara? And if you tell me, we're talking about a case where the width of the Elon is 4 tefachim or more, then I have another problem, and that's the Sefer. Kinesona b'kalkola b'ayhavi. We said that Rebbe's point was that if he puts it in a basket, then he's allowed to get access to it. Well, how can he get access to it if it has the width of 4 tefachim? It itself should be a Rishus HaYochid. And then he'd be accessing something from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, which is clearly a violation of Meleches Hachnosa Doraisa. Omar Avina, Ravina says you have to split this price into two parts. Resha de Isbe'av Arba, Sefer de Lesbe'av Arba. In the Resha, the Elon has the width of 4 tefachim, and therefore above 10 tefachim, it's both l'mala me'asara and it's rochav arba. Therefore, it has the status of Rishus HaYochid, and he's standing at the foot of the tree in Rishus HaRabim. He has no permissibility to take the Eruv off the tree into where he's standing. And therefore, the Eruv l'mala me'asara is possible. But safer in the case of the Kalkola, the lesbe asar arba. It doesn't have the width of 4 tefachim. It's not a Rishus HaYochid. It's considered, therefore, a Makom Ptur. And he's allowed to take the Eruv from there to Rishus HaRabim. And the Eruv is therefore valid. Then Ravina adds three words. V'kalkola mashlimoso li'arba'ah. Now watch what happens. See, I have a beautiful diagram here, my Gemara. You have the trunk of the tree. The trunk of the tree itself is less than 4 tefachim wide. But then, on one of the branches that shoots off from the trunk of the tree, he places this basket. And the basket itself has a width. And that width will compensate and will complement the width of the tree. So that all told, if you add the trunk of the tree together with the width of the basket, you'll end up with a width that is more than 4 tefachim. It's not considered Rishus HaYochid. Why? Because halacha is that if it's below 3 tefachim from the ground, and at that point, it's not 4 tefachim wide, because again, the kalkola, the basket, is placed above 3 tefachim. So if I go down to the base of the tree, I don't have a width of 4 tefachim. Is therefore, it's not a Rishus HaYochid. Now, why do you need this kalkola? Rebbe holds that an Eruv that's placed above 4 tefachim is not an Eruv unless it is placed on a makom that's arba. So what we're going to try to do is, in the case of Kalkola, we're going to try to validate the Eruv, even l'mala me'asara, but how could the Eruv be valid when you need an Eruv that is sitting on a Makom Arba? Now, this halach that an Eruv has to be sitting on a place that's 4 tefachim wide is Rabbi Yehuda, which we're going to learn about in Mitzvah Shem on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis right now. And we're going to try to set it up that it's Huvei Ruvo B'Makom Echad. And let's go back to Rebbe just for a moment to refresh our memory. Rebbe said in the son of a kalkola uslo beilan afil lemalame asar tvach meiruv eruv, which means that he and his eruv are b'makom echad, even though the eruv is lemalame asara. And we're going to have to assume that the ilan itself is not rochav arba tvachim, because otherwise it's rishus hayachid. Because if it's arba tvachim lemala me'asara, it's rishus hayachid. So how could Rebbe say that afilu lemala me'asara tvachim eruv eruv? It can't be rishus hayachid. He's standing in rishus harabim. He wants to be konish vise rishus harabim. It's not huve eruv v'makom echad, unless you assume that it doesn't have the width of four tvachim. But yet, paradoxically, Rebbe says that the Eruv is an Eruv. So how can you have a situation where you don't have the width of four tefachim and the Eruv is an Eruv if Rebbe holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Eruv is only valid if it's sitting on a place that's Rachav Arba? We're going to have to now introduce the concept of Kalkola Mashli Mosoli Arba. Again, Kalkola Mashli Mosoli Arba is not going to help me to set up Rishus HaYachid, because then I'm in trouble. How could Rebbe say that L'mal Me'asor, the Eruv is an Eruv? It would be Hu B'makom Echad Mim Rishus HaRab and Eruv HaRishus HaYachid if it's Mashlimo L'Arba. But the answer is Mashlimo L'Arba is only Halacha to validate the Eruv. And let's see how the Gemara develops this on Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. This is all Ravina speaking. The Rebbe Savar Lo K'Rabbi Meir, the Savar Lo K'Rabbi Yehuda. The only way we can explain Rebbe in the case of the Sefer the Brayse of the Kalkola in Lamala Me'asar and the Eruv is valid is we combine and integrate two shitos, one of Rabbi Meir and one of Rabbi Yehuda. And by the way, these two shitos are totally independent one of the other, but within the context of Rebbe, they overlap. Savalak Rabbi Meir di Omar Chokikin Lahashlim. Savalok Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Be'inan Erev Al Gabi Mokom Arbav. So we have the Halach of Rebbe. Rebbe actually is addressing an issue of what's called a kippah. I think we've learned this in the past. You have an archway that is circular on top, and in the airspace, you don't have the requirement of four tfachim rochav al arba tfachim gova for a mezuzah. A Pesach for a mezuzah has to have the following two dimensions. These are requirements. The one, it's got to have four tfachim berochav, and the Pesach also has to have those four tfachim berochav at the height of 10 tfachim. And in this particular case, he has a kippah where if you go up from the ground 10 tfachim, you don't have a rochav of asar tfachim. You'll only get, a rochav of arba tfachim. You'll only get that rochav of arba tfachim when you climb above asar tfachim into the circular area on the top. Comes along Rabbi Meir, he says, no, you're chayav in mezuzah and it's a Pesach. And why? Because of the principle called Chokikin Lahashlim. In other words, we can imagine as if the walls of this Pesach on both sides go all the way up, and we can sort of like punch out some of the Kosel wall until we finally get the shear that we need of Asarat Tfachim with a Rochav of Arba Tfachim. And then his chayav mezuzah becomes a Pesach. So we're talking about a Pesach where on the bottom of the Pesach it has rochav arba, but that's only up to three tefachim. Now before the Pesach reaches the gova, the height of asar tefachim, it starts getting round and it gets more narrow when it's round. Right, because it's a cone-shaped kippah. So as you go up, it gets narrower on the top. And that happens before you get to Asar Tfachim, so it's not really a Pesach. And the Rabbanan, in fact, say you're part of mezuzah. Reb Meir says, no, it is a Pesach because chokkin lahashle. We imagine that the top part of this cylinder was a rectangle. So we sort of punch out the kosel on that side, and then we get a full width of four tfachim above the gova of asar tfachim. And Savalok Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that an Erev is only valid if it's placed on a location, on an area that has four tfachim in width. So that's what's called the Inon Erev Al Gabi Mokom Arba. So now we have an Erev that's above 10 tfachim. It's got to be placed on an area that's 4 tfachim wide. The Ilan itself doesn't have 4 tfachim, as we said before. So we have to expand the area on which the Erev is being placed to reach 4 tfachim. How do we do that? We do it with the width of the kalkola of the basket. That's called Mashlimo Le Arba. And that is a fulfillment to the requirement of Rabbi Yehuda, such that Rabbi can now be mitzaref the kalkola to the width of the ilan, and when we add the two together, we have four tefachim, and the Erev is now munach on a place, on a location that is four tefachim wide. Now let's see if we can figure out why we need Rabbi Meir of Chokkin Lahashlin. And he says the following. Kevon Sheha Eruv Munach Bi Omek HaKalkola B'Shuleha. So the Eruv is sitting now on the bottom of this basket. And the bottom of the basket has the width of, let's say, Shloshet Fachim Mishitcho HaElyon Shel Ha'ilan. In other words, if you would draw a straight line from the bottom of the Kalkola straight across to that point of the Ilan where the Kalkola is parallel to, then L'chora, we have a problem now, because the Rosh Ha'ilan and the Shulei HaKalkola, it means the top part of the Ilan and the bottom part of the Kalkola, Eina Mitztarfim Lehechashev Yachad Arbat Tfachim. If not for the law of Rabbi Meir, you would not be able to join the two together and be mashlim them, because these shulayim are at a distance of three tfachim from the top of the ilan, which means that we don't have what's called lavut. So how do we integrate the width of the kalkola with the width of the ilan to arrive at the four tefachim necessary to fulfill Rabbi Yehuda's requirement of Hechsher Eruv? So here what we're going to have to do is apply the principle of Rabbi Meir called Chokkin LaHashlim. And that means we're going to consider the ilan as if it was what we call Chokuk, Chokikin, Keneged Shulei HaKalkola. And by applying the principle of Chokikin, we now could be mashlim, we could be mitzaref, the Mokom Eruv in the Shulei HaKalkola to the Shira of Arba Tfachim Berochav. And on this point, we have a long Tosus, Divya Maskel V'Rebbe, which you'll see here on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, in order to work out how Chokikin LaHashlim will solve the problem of the four tefachim that we need as an integration of the Shulei HaKalkola together with the Rosh HaIlan. And I'll just read a short summary of the main point. The Tosi says that HaIlan Einar Nechshav Kirshus HaYochid Lefisha Einbo Rochav Arba Tefachim Bishlosha Tefachim Hasmuchim LeKarka. In order to set up and define the Kalkola itself as Rishus HaYochid, even though, again, it has the necessary width, but it doesn't have that width in the three tefachim, below the three tefachim close to the Karka. So that what's the purpose and the goal of Chokikin? It's just to be machshiv the makom ha'erev as a makom arba tefachin, but it doesn't make it into a reshus hayochid. And Rebbe holds that the erev would not be valid unless the shetach here was arba tefachin, because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. My Rabbi Yehuda, what is the source for Rabbi Yehuda? Tisanya, we learned in the Brice, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Noatz Kora Rishus HaRabim. He sets up a pole in Rishus HaRabim. V'niach Eruvo Olav. And he places the Eruv on top of the pole. Is, you know when it will be valid? If Gvoa Asora Urachava Arba Eruvo Eruv. So it means the following. His kavana was to be shoveis brishus harab. The eruv is on top of this pole or this beam, which is a rishus hayochid. It's above our asor tefachim and it has a width of 4 tefachim. His eruv is still valid, as we said before on daf lamid beis lamid beis, that if a person puts his eruv on a place that's 4 amos, within 4 amos of his makom shvisa, since rishus hayochid is olad lorakia. Therefore, it's considered huvei ruva b'makom echad. But v'im lav, if this korah is lacking in any one of these two dimensions, it is not 10 tefachim high, nor is it 4 tefachim wide, ein eruvo eruv. And the Gemara understood that these words, v'im lav, ein eruvo eruv, means one of two things. Either the korah is not 10 tefachim high, that itself undermines the eruv, or alternatively, it doesn't have the rochav of arba, it's not an eruv. So the Gemara wants to know, I understand that Rabbi Yehuda requires a rochav of arba to make it into a makom chashuv for the eruv to be valid, but why is he talking about requiring the gova of asara? Adrabba, huve ruva makom echad. If you're going to tell me that the korah is lower than ten tefachim, that makes more sense, because then it's within the Avir Rishus HaRabim. He himself is in Rishus HaRabim at the foot of the trunk of the tree. And therefore it's Huvei Ruvo B'Mokom Echad. So what's his business that the Korah has to be above Ten Tefachim in Gova? Elohachi Komar, this is what the Brice has in mind. When it says, Govo Asor Rechor Arba Eruvo Eruv, what the Brice means is that if the Korah is Govo Asor, and he puts the Erev on top of the Korah, Tzarech Sheheba Rosha, Rochav Arba Tefachim. To make it into a Makom Chashav, he needs the width of 4 Tefachim, and then the Erev is valid. Now, even though when he has the width of 4 Tefachim, the Erev is now in Rishus HaYochid, and the Ma'ariv himself is standing at the trunk of the tree in Rishus HaRabim, nevertheless, the Erev is an Erev, because of the halacha that we mentioned before, the name of Rava, that Arba Mosav Shel Hama'ariv Adler Kiyam Rishus HaYochid. So as far as Erevin is concerned, we give him this area of 4 Tefachim, and that 4 Tefachim is considered a quasi Rishus HaYochid as far as Makomo in Erevin is concerned, and Rishus HaYochid is Ola Adler Kiyah. And therefore, the Brisa says, V'yam Lav, but if the head of the, or I should say, let's call it the width of the Korah, is not 4 Tefachim, any Eruv Eruv, because even though it has the Gova Vasora, his Eruv has to be Munach al Mokom Arba, and if it's not Munach al Mokom Arba, it's like floating in the air, and that's what the Brisa means, Vim Lav. So the Vim Lav is referring specifically to the Rochav of the Korah, not to its height. And the Gemara finally concludes that if this is the interpretation of the Braisa, that if Ein HaKora Gvo Asora, Ein Tzok Shia Barosha Arba, if the Korah is less than 10 Tefachim high, then he puts his Erev below 10 Tefachim, and that's considered as if he put it on the Karka, because it's Niklat B'Avir Rishus HaRabim. And then once again, it would be huve ruva b'makom echad, and it would be a valid eruv. So we find in this brisa a source for this shita Rabbi Yehuda that an eruv has to be placed down on an area that has at least the minimum of a rochav of 4 tefachim. Now the Gemara goes back to Ravina, who said that the Braisa is talking about a case where the Kalkola is mashlim the Rochav of the Ilan. So the Ilan doesn't have a width of 4 Tfachim. The Kalkola will now complement and integrate into the Ilan and make it into a Rochav Arba. So the Gemara says, Kiman. There's one opinion in the Tanoim that cannot be reconciled with Ravina. Because even if you'll apply the principle of Chokikin Lahashlim, and therefore the Kalkola is Mashlim, the Rochav Arba, but nevertheless it's not a Rishus HaYochid. Why? Because down at the bottom of the Elon it's not 4 Tfachim wide. The Lok Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. The Sanya, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer. Not Kona Rishus Rami, Nicho Barosho Traskal, the Zark Venochal Gabov, Chaya. So that means that Ravina, in interpreting the Braisa, is against Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because Ravina requires that the Kalkola be mashlin the Rochav of the Ilan in order to achieve our goal of having a Rochav of Arba Tfachim. And this is going to be very good unless you apply the principle of Yossi, because what Ravina is trying to do in the context of the Braisa is to insist that even though we're going to apply the principle of Chokin LaHashlin to establish the Rochav Arba Tfachim, nevertheless it's not a Rishus HaYochid. Because again, if he made it into Rishus HaYochid, then his Eruv could not be valid because he's being Ma'arav in Rishus HaRabim and his Eruv in Rishus HaYochid. But Rabbi Yossi, we're going to prove, holds that even though at the bottom of the tree he doesn't have a Rochav Arba, nevertheless, if he has on the top of the tree an area or a pole, an area that's 4 tefachim wide, it becomes a Rishus HaYochid. How do I know that Rabbi Yossi holds like that? Because Rabbi Yossi says that he took a pole that was 10 tefachim high and he placed it down in Rishus HaRabim. Now he's standing in Rishus HaRabim. On the top of the pole, he puts a basket of some sort called a traskal. And the traskal has the width of 4 tefachim. And now he throws an object that lands in the basket. He's playing basketball. And he's chaya for that. Why? Because he was zorek mirshus harabim lirshus hayochid. Anyway, we see clearly from Rabbi Yossi that even if the kana does not have the width of 4 tefachim, nevertheless, since the sal, the basket up on top of the head of the pole, has the width of 4 tefachim, it's considered a Rishus HaYochid. And this is all based on what we call imaginary mechitzos, go to Achis mechitzos, right? You have the outer mechitzos of this traskal, and you imagine as if you have, as if those mechitzos went all the way down to the karka. And if that be the case, then we have mechitzos which are above 10 tefachim, and we have a rochav of Arba tefachim. And the Gemara says, no, I can reconcile Ravina and his interpretation of the Braisa even with Rabbi Yossi. Afilu tam Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. We should not compare the case of Ravina with the Kalkola, which is not a Rishus HaYochid, to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Why Hassam, in the case of Traskal, on top of the Kone, in Rabbi Yossi, is Hadron Mechitzosa. Those Mechitzos of the Traskal surround the entire Kone. The Traskal is in the middle of the Kone. It's not tipped over towards one side or another. And therefore we can apply the principle of go to Achiz Mechitzta. And therefore the Kana is Mukaf with Mechitzos all the way down to the Karka, because Godafis takes me from on top, the Mechitzos go all the way down to the bottom. But Hocha here in the Braisa, in the Kalkola, which is hanging on to the Elon, Lo Hadron Mechitzosa, and the Mechitzos of this Traskal do not surround the thickness of the Elon, but rather it's only on one side of the Elon, right? Because it's not around the Elon. Therefore, even if to apply the principle of Godachis Mechitza based on the Mechitzas of the Kalkala of this basket, and therefore Lamata, you'll have a Rochav Arba when you add the Kalkala to the thickness and the width of the tree. But nevertheless, we still need to say Chokikin Lahashlim in order to be Mitzayif the Kalkala, to be Mashlim the Rochav of the Ilan Tarba Tfachim. And we don't apply two halachas and piggyback them one on top of the other. We cannot apply both chokikin lahashlim, which is an imaginary mechitza, and go to achis mechitza, which is an imaginary mechitza. So in the case of Rabbi Yossi with the kone and the traskel on top, and the traskel now is mechitzas that completely surround the pole through the halacha of go to achis mechitza, we only need one halacha of an imaginary mechitza. And therefore, even though it's not four tefachim wide at the base, Rabbi Yossi holds it has a full-fledged status of Rishus HaYochid. But in our context of Ravina and our Braisa, here we need to add two halachas together. We have to be mashlim the shear of Arba tefachim in order to fulfill Rabbi Yehuda's requirement that an Erev be sitting on a place that has the width of four tefachim. For that, we have to activate the principle of Rabbi Meir called Chokin LaHashlim. And on top to boot, we're going to have to imagine the mechitzos going down from the top to the bottom. And that's called Godachis Mechitzta. We're not going to apply both Godachis Mechitzta and Chokin Lahashlim. Now the Gemara goes back to the words of Rebbe and the statement of Rebbe back on Daf Lamed and Gimel that if he places the Erev on the tree above 10 tefachim is Erev, is not Erev, but if it's below 10 tefachim, the Erev is an Erev. And Rebbe says, furthermore, that if he puts a kalkola, a basket, and he's hanging the basket on one of the branches of the tree, even if it's above Asar tefachim, the Erev is valid. And the Gemara had asked the following question, if we're talking about an Elon that has the width of Arba tefachim, so then, what good does it do if he puts the Erev into the Kalkola, which is hanging on one of the branches of the tree? Why should the Erev be valid? The Kalkola itself is Rishus HaYochid. If it's Lamala Me'asora, and it has the Rochav of four tefachim, that was our question on Rebbe. And then it was Hu Ve'ruvo B'Shnei Makomos, he's not in the same, because he's in Rishus HaRav in the Kalkola, where he places the Erev is in Rishus HaYochid. So we quoted the answer of Ravina. Now we're going to quote a different answer, and that's Rabbi Yirmi. Rabbi Yirmi Omar, Shani Kalkola, Hoel V'yochel Intosa, Ulavia, Lesoch Asora. The case of the Asora, that is hanging on one of the branches of the tree above Ten Tefachim, is a different halacha. And the reason why the Erev is valid, even though it's above 10 tefachim, and it's a rochav of 4, which would make it into Rishus HaYochid, and how could that Erev be valid? The answer is, Yochol in Tosa Lavia L'toch HaSara. He could take the basket and dip it down, and, put it on an angle, tip it over, that's a good word. And if he tips it over, then part of the Kalkola is below Asara Tfachim. So he doesn't have to be Oker the Kalkola Bimkoma. He just has to tip it over on Tzido HaEchad, on one side, until it reaches below Asara Tfachim. And there he's in the Avir Rishus HaRabim, because it's below Asara Tfachim. And he can take the Eruv to his Makom Shvisa because he's in Rishus HaRabim. And now the Eruv itself is also in Rishus HaRabim. Yosef Rav Papa v'ka'omel ala Shmaita. And when Rav Papa said over this Torah, Esvei Rav Bar Shvol Rav Papa, in other words, Rav Bar Shva objected to this explanation of Rabbi Yirmiyah based on a Mishnah later on, Adaf Lamed Ches, in the case of Yontif, Samach L'Shabbos. So Yontif now falls on a Friday. and he wants to set up his Eruv for Tchumin, Chutz L'Tchum, in a way that he can go Chutz L'Tchum both on Yontif on that Friday and on Shabbos. And he places his Eruv for the first day, meaning on Thursday afternoon, out there 2,000 Amma beyond his house, and he goes home. If he's going to go home, then the Mishnah has a problem, because we should suspect the possibility that the Eruv will not be there and it'll be eaten by animals, or I don't know what, it'll get lost. And in that case, he will not have a valid Eruv that would help him for Shabbos. He wants to get a two-day Eruv. So Ketzaru Oseh, so the Mishnah advocates or recommends the following. Molicho Barishon, he should send a shliach to take his Erev out on Erev Yontov, meaning on Thursday, to the place where he wants to be Kona Shvisa. Umachshich Olav, the shliach should wait until after nightfall, so that the Erev will now be Chal. Vinotlo, and then he takes the Erev, Ubalo, and he brings it back to the city. If he leaves it there, it might get lost, and he won't have the Erev for Shabbos. And then on Friday afternoon, he goes back, Basheni, and Machshich Olav. And then he'll replace the Erev exactly where it was on Thursday. And he should hang around until the onset of Shabbos. And then he's not allowed to carry the Erev all the way back, because he's carrying it through Rosh Hashanah, is Ochlo. In other words, on Shabbos, if he can't carry it back in, let him eat it right there. Ubolo, then he goes back to the city. And the Erev is Chal, because once the Erev is Chal during Ben Hashmash is entering into Shabbos, then it's Matir the entire Shabbos as a valid Erev Tchumen. Now, if Yontif is on a Sunday, and he wants to set up an Eruv on Friday for both Shabbos and Sunday, so he can go Chutz L'Tchum both on Shabbos and on Yontif, then he should place the Eruv in a Mokom Shvisa on Erev Shabbos. He's going to have to go back home without taking the Eruv, because he can't carry the Eruv on Shabbos. He's then on Shabbos afternoon, before Yontif begins, he should go and make sure that his Erev is still there. And he should stand there until after nightfall on Shabbos evening, Motzi Shabbos meaning. And then he can be Somech on this Erev, even on Yontif. On the other hand, if he sees that the Erev is no longer there when he gets there on Shabbos afternoon, then he's going to have to stay home the entire Shabbos. He cannot rely on that Erev, because the Erev is gone. And here on the top of Lamed Daled, we'll end with this, is the Gemara allows Rav Bar Shva to finish up his Kasha. He says, according to Rabbi Yirmiya, that we have this principle called Hoil. So let's go back again to the language of Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya said, that shiny kalkola hoil v'yachol in tosel avia l'soch asara, that a kalkola is different because he could theoretically tip it over to its side, and that side where he tips it over is lower than asara tfachim. So applying the principle of hoil is therefore my, why does he need with every day of the Eruv, he has to come back and he has to make sure that the Erev is there, and he places the Erev b'soch ha-tchum, is Neymar, why not apply the following logic? Keva di boy amtuye motzi mamtile afagav do amti kemande di amti domi. If he would have wanted to bring his Erev there, he could have brought it there. And even if he didn't bring it there, it's as if he brought it there. Just like in the case of the Kalkola, Rabbi Yirmiya says that even though the Eruv is in a Rishus HaYochid, and he himself, the Ma'ariv, is in Rishus HaRabim, Nevertheless, we say Hoil, since he could have tipped over the Kalkola below 10 Tfachim, therefore it's considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbin Tuvei Ruv Makom Echad. Is by process of analogy, the same thing should apply here. He doesn't have to be Molech his Eruv all the way out to the end of the Tchum, because we should apply the principle of Hoel, since he could be Molech his Eruv to the end of the Tchum, it's as if he actually did so. Amrav Zera, Gzera Mishum Yontiv Shechalios Achar Shabbos. So this is where we're going to stop here on the third line from the top of Daf Lamed Daled Omen Aleph, and that'll be your homework assignment for the Shabbos. And Imirs Hashem, Bli Neder, will pick up Lamed Hey number 35 on Yom Rishon. So let me take this opportunity to wish you a great Shabbos.